You know, yoga was, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and that yoga was originally begun as a spiritual practice. It was not a physical practice at all. It was the practice of sitting around, basically. Bhakti yoga is devotional yoga. It's sitting around and attuning yourself to God through chanting, through praying, through aligning yourself, etc. And it was originally begun, and then people discovered that if they stretched a lot before they sat and did this, they could spend more time. And so that is how the hatha, or the physical practice of yoga, began. So that's what we're doing, and now we're up to the bhakti portion, or the devotional portion. And this is my chance to give the Dharma talk. Marty always reminds me that Dharma is purpose, Sanskrit for purpose. So what is our purpose? I don't know about you, but my purpose is to be happy and enjoy life. I mean, really, if you accomplish a whole lot of other stuff at the end and you're not happy, you didn't have a good time, you did it wrong. We've been talking about this specifically in the context of what I would call our common stories. A lot of people would call them Bible stories or Old Testament stories. I call them our common stories because, as I've shared before, if you're in India, you'll find children there reading comic books about a young god boy who gets his head cut off and gets it replaced with an elephant baby's head, and that's how we end up with Lord Ganesha. Those are the stories that are common to that culture. The stories that are common to our culture are the stories of the Bible, specifically the Old Testament. So we've talked about the flood. We've talked about the original sin. We've talked about a pillar of salt. And today, and I love this image Rick found, anybody want to guess what we're talking about from the Old Testament? David and Goliath. This is by far the most popular worldwide story of the Bible. It is the one that is used as a metaphor all the time. Could you imagine, we could balance the budget if we told every sports commentator that every time they said a real David and Goliath story, they had to give $5 to the federal budget? It would be paid off. We talk about David and Goliath. So before I actually get into the Bible story of David and Goliath, as we know, is the story about a little boy who kills a giant, right? Just a little boy who goes off and kills a giant. What I love about the Bible, and of course I use the New Oxford Annotated Bible, what I love about the Bible is the Bible tells this story really well. So I'm going to pick and choose, but I'm going to actually read you the story from the Bible. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you why you should care. Because in my opinion, after having studied the Bible for 30 years, nobody gets the real point of David and Goliath. Nobody. So let me read you the story first. This is from 1 Samuel 17. By the way, real quick before I get into this, we've talked about how the Bible was put together before, so I just want to remind you that Israel was divided. Northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. Israel, the United Nation of God. Think about that, which was the what all of the Jews came from, okay? The United Nation of God got mad at each other and split for 500 years. Can you imagine religious people getting mad at each other and splitting for a while? But these religious people actually got back together and ended up, and that's where the Bible came from. But some of them had their stories, other had their stories, and when they put them together, they just pushed the stories together. Okay? That is why Goliath gets killed not once, but twice in the Bible. He gets killed both in 1 Samuel by David, and then in 2 Samuel, he gets killed by Elhanan, who was one of David's army, part of David's army. I bring all this up again because once again, we as Westerners look at the Bible and go, tell me the facts. If the facts don't jibe, it's not right. People in the East go, tell me a cool story. So let me tell you a cool story. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. A cubit is the distance from the tip of your finger to your elbow. Therefore, that would make Goliath approximately 9 feet 11 inches. However, the Greek version of the Old Testament says he was 4 cubits and a span. That would make him 6 foot 11. To me, this is one of those stories of, I killed a giant this big, okay? I think Goliath was a really big guy, but I don't think he was 10 feet tall. I think he was 6'11", but I think he had some serious anger management issues. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. It's 159 pounds. The shaft of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, 19 pounds. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will all be your servants. However, if I am able to kill him, then you will all be our servants. Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that will fight and we will fight together." When Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephratite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. Do you notice how the whole tone changed right there? Do you notice how we're talking about Goliath and all of a sudden, meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're talking about David? This is where the two stories were put together, okay? So 3 of Jesse's sons go off to battle because they're young enough. They actually go off to serve Saul against the Philistines. You've got these 2 armies on either side. Now, this is really interesting fighting. They don't fight 24 hours a day. At night, everybody goes back to their camps. Then they come and they meet in the valley again the next morning. When they're there, every morning, there's this guy, Goliath, big, angry Goliath. And what is Goliath saying? Somebody fight me. If anyone will fight me, the war will be over and you win. But what are people doing? They're running around Goliath to fight one another. And Goliath just stands there. So David comes in at Jesse's bidding, his father, to bring some food to his brothers. And when he's there, he sees this monster of a guy standing there and everyone running around him. And he says, "Why doesn't somebody fight this guy?" And everybody looks at David and says, "Have you looked at this guy?" And everybody is scared. And David said, "I don't care. I've got God on my side. And God plus me makes a majority. And I'm going to do it." So his brothers tell the king, and the king brings David in. And the king says, "Well, if you're going to fight the giant, then you're going to need a suit of armor. You're going to need a sword. You're going to need a helmet. You're going to need all of these things." And he puts all this stuff on David so that David can't even walk. David sloughs all that junk off, walks down to a creek bed, and he picks up 5 stones. How many stones did he pick up? What did I just say?
5.
Oh, boy. People in the Old Testament would have heard a number, and they would have gone like that, because numbers are code in the Old Testament. It's true in the Bible. All numbers have a meaning. They would have heard 5. How many stones did he pick up? 5 stones. He then goes to the battlefield and he sees Goliath standing there. Goliath is going, "Somebody fight me, somebody fight me, somebody fight me." And they're running around Goliath fighting. And he sees David in a distance, a little shepherd boy with a sling, not a slingshot, something you swing around. And here's the best part. When the Philistine drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David charged. Take this in again. This is a 12-year-old boy. How old's Asher? 10. Okay, he's a big 10. But he would be about Asher's size. I was just in there watching him do yoga. 10 years old, taking on a 6-foot, taking on Shaquille O'Neal. Okay? That's about the right perspective, right there, but a mean, angry, not friendly, selling icy hot Shaquille O'Neal. David charges Goliath. He doesn't wait to see what happens. He charges. He takes one of his stones, he slings it, bammo, hits Goliath in the head. The stone struck the Philistine in the forehead, sank into his forehead. He fell face down on the ground, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking the Philistine and killing him. Here's the point everybody misses. David wasn't the only one who could have killed Goliath. David's the only one who tried. Dr. Robert Shuler was one of the greatest ministers and speakers of all time, in my opinion, and I was fortunate enough to hear him speak when he was 90 years old, and they gave him 10 minutes to speak. He said, I have 10 minutes, so let me tell you the one thing I've learned in my life. He said, if I could be made king for a day, I would take the word impossible out of the dictionary. It is so amazing how many things we say we can't do that we haven't even tried. I've been doing yoga, really doing yoga now for 5 years with Marty. Five years. And it's amazing to me how many people I say, well, I do yoga 3 or 4 times a week. And they say, well, I can't do that. And I want to say, wow, you were born without a yoga gene. That really must be terrible. You can't do that? Or I say, I don't watch the news. Oh, I can't do that. Most people use the words, I can't, and they mean, I won't. Most of us use the words, I can't, when they mean, I won't. Earl Nightingale, the great speaker, told a wonderful story. It's one of my favorites of a woman playing piano at a lady's tea, and when she finishes, one woman comes up to her at the end and said, oh, I would give anything to play the piano like you. And the woman looks at her and smiles and says, no, you wouldn't. And the woman is just taken aback. And she said, I would too give anything to play like you. She said, no, you wouldn't. Or else you would have. You would have given 3-4 hours an afternoon for your entire life like I have, in which case you would play as well, if not better, than I do. But you wouldn't give anything. I've been doing a lot of speaking to schools. That seems to be where I'm drawn this last year. I've probably spoken at 15 schools around the country. I've got probably another 5 coming up before the end of the year. And I started a complaint-free principals group. And they call in, the principals call in, and we do a Google Hangout where we can all see each other and we talk about how they're doing with the complaint-free program in their schools. I've noticed something interesting about people, whether they're trying to become complaint-free, whether they're trying to lose weight, whether they're trying to cut back smoking, whether they're trying to stop swearing, whatever it is, that if they've got other people that they do those behaviors with, those people are going to discourage them from trying to improve their lives. I don't know why it is, but it's true. I worked with this couple when I was in Seattle, and they both loved food, and they were both looked like people who love food. I mean, just really, really, like, she was 300 pounds and he was about 400. Great people. She, Linda was her name. She decided that she was going to get in shape and everything, and you thought, wow, Mike's probably going to come along for the ride. Fought her every step of the way. She lost 200 pounds. She looked great, and he broke up with her. Be careful what you say you can't do. Be careful what you say you can't do. and try new stuff all the time. Remember, it's part of that life supposed to be happy and enjoyable stuff. Anything you want to do, you can do. If you believe you can do it, and say, maybe I have yet to do it. I don't know about you, but every year you're going to discover there are poses you can do that you could not do the year before. That's true, okay? But to say, I can't whatever, I can't go to yoga, I can't make time for yoga, I can't be happy, I can't be a good parent, I can't be this, I can't be that. That's what David's trying to tell us. Charge. When you see something and it's supposed to be easy, or something you're supposed to do, whether it's easy or hard, charge. Get it done. You plus God equals a majority. Take somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, in this moment, we intend to change I can't to I have yet to, and then to charge. Because we alone limit ourselves. We are one with you, and you are limitless. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember that we are expansive in so many ways, and as we expand, there will be people we leave behind. But there will be others waiting for us, ready for that leg of the journey. Thank you, God, for the giants in our life. And so it is. Amen. Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes, or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.